Airplane.
Sorry, Stephen, can I just get you to say a couple of sentences into that?
A couple of sentences into that?
A couple of sentences into
that. Hello, hello.
That took me a second to get that.
Hello, check, check. Hello, talking, yeah. Talking and great. Stuff. Coffee is cold, but still going to finish it.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
You're listening to episode 58 of Sapnin Podcast with myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Mo Rich, a.k.a. Morgan Richards.
It's me, and just like these puns I try to make every week, this episode is going to be full of beautiful drama.
Why, what happens then? Do we get...
Oh, wait, listen to find out, don't you? Because that's the point of a podcast. If I told you now, what's going to happen all the way through?
If you told me now...
Yeah.
Yeah, if you tell me now, but I know I was there and I don't remember there being that much drama. So you've shown that pun in. It wasn't that dramatic, was it, in the meeting with the boys?
No, but it's beautiful drama. Because
no, it was beautiful. Yeah. They're attractive guys. But I'm saying, as drama goes, there wasn't much.
Okay, I'll give you that.
I'll take a little bit of that back.
Okay.
The closest we got to drama was when we give them the annoying question about the guys they've worked with previously that they're now sick of.
Yes, so there you go. There is drama.
It was drama. It was
exactly.
Drama.
He's so right. Full he's right. Circle.
Sorry, bud. Carry on, bud.
Episode 58 of Sapnin Podcast.
Yeah!
And this week's guest is the wonderful songwriting Australian geniuses.
Oof.
In the fame.
Oof. Bloody hell. You're right, but yeah. I mean, whoa.
It's a big...
Genii? You've given him the genii title?
I have, yeah.
Bloody hell. There's not many Australian genii.
Nope, no.
Let's have a quick think. Mark Bosnich, goalkeeper. Daniel Johns from Silverchair.
Yeah.
Oh, and he said Rolf Harris, can't say anymore.
Jenna Tonight Live?
Jenna Tonight Live, yeah. And anyone from Australia, because we love Australia. So,
we do. So
yeah.
We thought, whatever better way to start our first episode of 2020 than with the beautiful Australians in Josh and Stephen from The Fame.
Happy New Year!
Hooray!
We should have done that earlier, really.
We should have.
But didn't. Yeah, Happy New Year to you. If you've been listening for over a year, thank you very much. Why, how, and that's amazing. If this is your first time checking out Sapnin Podcast, please go back and check out the other 57 episodes we've done. Some other podcasts included The Fame as well. So
yes, they did, and they will include all of your favourite bands because we've talked to some bloody marvellous people.
If you look through our back catalogue, right, and you can't find a band you like, you are deaf.
I agree, yeah.
But also, if you listen to this and you are actually deaf, how does that work?
We're going down a dark hole here. I feel like we're digging ourselves into trouble.
Well, I don't think we are. I'm just genuinely asking if you're deaf.
Yeah.
Can you consume podcasts if you're deaf? Question of the week. Can you consume podcasts if you're deaf? There you go.
Right, there we go.
Answers please, deaf people.
On the
postcard.
Yeah.
Unless you're blind. And then
you're blind. Oh, what?
But that's fine. Well, anyway, carry on. Go on,
yes, so The Fame are going to be joining us to celebrate the new year in style. We're going to be talking to them all about their new record, State of Mind. Finally, they've got it out.
Yes.
It's one they've been working on for a very long time. I've been listening to it a lot.
Bloody corker, mate.
Exactly.
It's a bloody corker.
Exactly. So we're going to be getting all the secrets about that, people they've worked with, as we mentioned.
Yep.
And then we're going to dive into a lot of different things, including their favourite backstage household item.
Oh, my. Listen in, right? If you've ever wanted to know some of the deepest, darker secrets of bands, right? Like, what's their favourite laundry utensil? You've come to the right place. We ask the hard-hitting questions that everybody else is scared to ask. What is the Fame's favourite shower unit, right? Oh, you're laughing now, but we genuinely definitely ask them that, and they haven't got an answer. I thought it would be the proper Triton T80. Anyway, let's move on. Keep on listening, because it's a very, very interesting interview with some lovely chaps.
We're not even joking, because that part of the conversation is very interesting. Yeah. It's hilarious, and they're opening my eyes.
People don't realise the stuff bands go through.
Exactly. Well, they're going to explain it, and yes, it's going to be absolutely wonderful. And then we get into some random questions as well, and we even role play a little bit. We swap seats.
Yes, we did.
And they ask us a couple of questions.
They switched it around. Yeah.
So
the old topsy-turvy damn motherfucker on us.
Yeah.
Fair play to him. Yeah, thank you very much to the Fame, Hayley Connolly, as usual. Yeah. It was a fantastic show. We got to see those reprobates in Hot Milk briefly as well. So
we
it was
did.
Nice to see them.
We did.
And yeah, all round great, great day. So thank you very much to them.
Yes, and thank you to everyone on the Fame's team for making this happen, giving us their dressing room, and just being wonderful human beings.
Yes. If you've got any questions or band suggestions or guest suggestions at all, please get in touch with us on Twitter or Instagram at SamplingPod. That's at SAPPENINPOD. Or if you've enjoyed any of the past 58 episodes, and I'm sure you would have, and if you haven't, you're a fucking liar and you owe me. Check out patreon.com/sapling. Yeah.
Yes, please do. Do you know what?
What?
I guarantee you in 2020, right?
Yep.
Everybody is going to have a birthday.
You're saying that now, right? What about people who are going to die January 9th and this comes out?
January 3rd.
January 3rd.
I'm sorry for those people that they haven't experienced their birthday of 2020, but for the rest of them...
For everyone who'll make it through this year.
Yeah, they will definitely have a birthday.
Yeah.
Right?
So my birthday's just gone. I'm already telling people, but we got to keep celebrating because it's my birthday year.
That's true, yeah. Yeah.
I'm hoping that that's how I get free stuff.
Okay. Well, speaking of free stuff, because, you know, people thinking of gifts and all that.
Yeah.
Why don't you just get a membership to Sapling Podcast's community Patreon for someone for their birthday?
That is true. Do you know what? I'm sad we've left that till New Year to realise we could have done that. We could have been doing that for Christmas. We could have been bloody millionaires by now.
I know. And as well, because one of the packages with some of the goodies and stuff you can get is video or voice messages.
Cool.
So you can just sign. Why don't you could just sign up, right? And literally once a month, you could get a video and voice message for whoever's birthday it is that month and then send it to them.
Unbelievable.
You'd never have to leave the house to buy a birthday present ever again.
Is this what you've been doing over Christmas, is coming up with evil plans? They're not evil, but they're great. Money making schemes.
Yeah, literally. It was nice. Editing, evil plans, some scheming, making lists,
brushing
and watching Gavin and Stacey.
Oh, cool. How was that?
It was all right as it goes, yeah.
Oh, for fuck's sake, I hate my life. So, should we just get on with the episode? Do we have anything more to talk about?
Well, how was your birthday?
Oh, yeah, good, thank you.
Tidy.
Yep.
Any New Year's resolutions?
Try not to die.
Okay.
I've had 35 years of successfully completing
that one. That's true,
yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Last one was difficult, but got through. So anyway, have we got anything else to say before we could just listen to the beautiful, beautiful tones of the Fame's voices?
No.
Good. Here we go. Sapling!
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sapnin!
Yes!
Did we get it?
Yeah, you did.
Yes. Okay, cool. I thought I pronounced it wrong for a minute.
No, I was going to try and pronounce it wrong, Em, but yeah.
No, cool. Yeah, but of course, our guests this week are Australians of finest, the fame, Josh and Stephen. How are you doing?
We're doing pretty good.
Not off with the finest, but you know, we'll take it. We'll take whatever compliments we can get these days and fill our egos with it.
What's the competition?
Oh, there's a lot.
Hugh Jackman is the fucking epitome of Australia's finest.
He is Australia's finest.
And then there's like the Hemsworths and shit.
Okay.
So. Oh, I was thinking musically.
Yeah, I was going to say standalone.
Kevin Parker.
Tonight Alive, Parkway Drive.
AC/DC.
Tame Impala.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, there's
so
a lot.
You're Australia's finest, so you win.
Take
that all the way.
We'll take it all the way.
Definitely listen to this.
Yes.
No, but how are you doing? You know, UK tour seems as being a very busy one up and down the country, being in Europe as well, supporting the new record.
It's been sick. Yeah, it's been really good. We're on the tail end of it now. We only got 3 shows left. It's bloody flown by.
That's fucking flown.
Yeah, it's like we're braving the cold. No, that's all good.
Sorry, we only deal with it like an hour a day anyway.
We get to bring out our jackets that we never get to wear.
I wish I never got to wear jackets.
You're bringing out a whole new fashion in us.
Sick of jackets.
And the whole, like I've got shorts underneath my long pants right now.
I did go to the gym this morning,
and then I just chuck my long pants over my shorts, as you can see now. So it looks shorts.
I thought that was like keeping the hidden Australian away. Like,
I feel Australian.
We just like having our shorts on. It makes us feel more comfortable.
Part of the culture, mate.
Yeah, but of course, we're recording this backstage at the Globe in Cardiff. You guys had a day off here yesterday.
We did.
We kind of did. Yeah, I mean, we were in the studio for it. Me and Stevie, where we're just doing some things, some exciting things, which were good. Yes, some behind the scenes stuff, which was good. So no days off. Okay. But that's the best way to do it, because after this tour, we are having weeks off. Which is going to be fucking amazing.
Our biggest break in 2 years.
Yeah,
literally. 6 weeks
longer than
life.
We haven't had longer than like two. I'd say 2 weeks, because every other break we've had, if it's like 3 weeks, it's been like a week of something.
Yeah.
Or like stuff in between. And even 2 week break is like, because we've always done stuff.
Yeah.
You end up being sick half the time. But you get home and then like our last leg of touring was 13 weeks long.
Oof.
And you stop, and then your body's like, what's happening? Yeah. Like, what is stop?
Yeah, it shits itself.
And so,
late at night, you're like, why can't I sleep? Oh, yeah, it's because nobody's shaking my bed.
Exactly. We don't understand stillness anymore. Funny thing.
I feel like when I'm gonna go home, I'm just gonna like have these cold sweats in the middle of the night. It's gonna wake up, be like, "Lovey, cold." Fucking load out.
Like in the middle of the night, having these.
We're at the venue.
Night terrors and shit.
You know. So.
Oh, but I imagine it's like hard when you've toured for that long and you're getting used to these little bits that when you get home, it is a bit of missing the things that you wish you didn't have to put up with, really.
Yeah, it's a funny thing, isn't it? Like, and you do some things like from home on tour that make you feel more like at home. And then when you're at home, you'll probably end up doing things like on tour. Like one thing that I learned, especially on the US tour that we're on, is like trying to be clean. Because if you're not clean, when we were in an RV over there, if you're not clean, then
you get bullied.
You get bullied by one certain guitarist in particular. not to name anyone.
To be fair, I don't blame it. It was
a mess. So then you know, those are the sorts of things which I hope our parents will, well, our parents are hoping that we'll bring back to the house, and so that they're like, oh, this is all chill, so we can be good housemates back at home. Nice. But then, yeah, like when we're on tour, you just do whatever you can to like make it feel more like at home. Like, you know, if you're in the UK and going to the gym, watching whatever you can watch in your little bunk, or like whatever series you're watching at the time, and doing little things, playing COD with the PlayStation.
Man, I've accepted I'm so far away from home. I just, because we don't fucking shower, so I want to get home and just sit in the bath for like a solid 3 hours, like, and be able to stretch my legs all the way.
Oh yeah, it's a lot easier for me because I'm so short. Yeah. And then in the bus, like, it's fine. I can just like walk, tiny little bit of head crouch, I'm fine. But then there's this poor soul that's like a foot and a half taller than me. It's yeah,
yeah.
But it could always be worse. That's yeah, true. Always be worse, right? We're on a fucking bus and we should be complaining.
We're not.
Oh, good. Yeah, well, on this tour as well in the UK and Europe, you've been had the wonderful friends of the podcast, Hot Milk, supporting you.
Absolutely.
What's it been like putting up with them for so long?
Cause, oh, I feel like it's been more of them putting up with us,
yeah,
to be honest.
Yeah, exactly. It's the exact same thing.
Nah, they're great. Like, one thing, like, obviously, it's hard being away from home and hard doing this sort of industry gig in general. Like, sure, as you guys know, this sort of shit is not easy, you know? And, like, but at the end of the day, when you get to share it with friends and you get to share it with people, it kind of does become like family, because whether you like it or not, you have no personal space. You have no boundaries, really. It's not, you can try to create them, but really it just doesn't happen. You're 3 meters away from each other, getting changed every single day, you know. It's like, but when you have people who have the same camaraderie and the same sort of just mentality, because we try not to take ourselves too seriously, you know. Of course, every, like, you've got to have a serious perspective on what you do, but you know, when you're working so hard and you're loading in out and you're putting out gear in the rain and shit, sometimes you've got to have a laugh and talk some crap, you know, because if you don't, you'll pretty much do it at The Shining on the bus and turn into Jack Nicholson and just fucking go crazy. So then you got to do what you can.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Well, fair play. Yeah. But of course, you know, you've been out on the roads nonstop recently in support of your debut studio album, State of Mind.
Yes.
I know you guys have worked so long on this, best part of 2 years, just trying to get everything out and ready behind the scenes. So it must just be brilliant to think now that the album's out and seeing the reaction of these kids and with the songs each and every night.
Yeah, it's awesome. Like, you know, that, and this album's, you know, been a long time coming, especially like, you know, completing it just in between tours and like all the spare time that we have. So it's literally been all the nooks and crannies of, you know, traveling the world, playing, you know, the music that we've already released, and then playing the songs off the, it's like some of them we're playing before they were even released, because we've done so much touring with so little music released that we had to, you know, grab from like what we could, but still try and save some for like the album release. Keep it all interesting. So it was just, finally, it was like so great to be able to, you know, release the record right before like the US tour in September this year. And it's just great. Like, it's so good to be playing the new songs live, you know, seeing everyone's reaction to it. And, you know, just all the new songs of the record are so much fun to play and really, like, you know, bring that live set to the new level. It's good.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, from when the band started, you were just putting out a couple of singles here and there, but it seemed to have that massive reaction straight off the bat. Was it kind of weird doing that kind of touring cycles and you've only got a couple of songs out and then trying to rebuild that on that?
It is a little, because, like, I remember, like, our very first tour, you know, here in the UK with Lord Atlantis, we had one song released, so people were like, oh, where can I find you? I'm like, well, you can find out one song on Spotify, and then I guess if you want to hear more, you'll have to come back and see us play. And that was basically what it was for a while, and it was sort of like dripping out songs, because yeah, it was very much just being like really thrown into the deep end from the get-go. So instead of like having a long time to like figure out the plan, you know, figure out, you know, how we're going to work things and everything, is like literally figuring things out as we go. It's like, all right, we're going to really hit the ground running here, and we're just going to take things as it comes and just go from there.
Cool.
Yeah. That's awesome. Oh, awesome. Yeah. And there seems to be a lot of different kind of subgenres and styles of music throughout the record. Is that just a good reflection of everything you've all been into individually, and really just the process of that you've had that 2 years to write this record, that you've been in to different things going on in that time?
I think, like, the album itself, like, it's definitely like a kind of a representation of the influences of each individual member of the band. But I feel like the album itself is kind of like a journey of how we've progressed as writers and how we've progressed as people, you know, because I'd say toward, like, you know, when we get to the buying time and the state of mind of the album, like those sort of two songs really were written towards like the end of our entire recording process, really. And, you know, the album ended up getting finished up in like a really short amount of time. I felt like the album was written over like a year and a half, but we had to pack in so much in like the last few months. And I felt like buying time, state of mind were like the those songs that we kind of really felt connected to, like conceptually and sonically. You know, I feel like us all members of the band really kind of get into those songs in such a deep way, you know, and especially State of Mind, that was just us four in a room, you know, back home in Perth in a rehearsal studio. And to have that kind of connection and then be able to put that out on stage, like I felt like we found something really important there, and that's something we want to keep relevant for album two, you know. And I feel like the main focus is going to be pardon me, not only finding like a cohesive sound, but also still just exploring the kind of things that we love playing, you know, that we love hearing. Because the album has been done, like, it's definitely been like 2 years in the making, but, you know, Infamous was from like 3 to 4 years ago, you know, which is definitely like a big part of our journey. Do I feel like, you know, sonically and conceptually we've grown so much, and for album two it's going to be really just I feel like we're going to spend a touring amount of time writing, you know, because this album is such a fucking nutcase, in the sense of we were recording in LA and the next minute we've got to getting sent stuff while we're on tour, and we've got to figure out stuff in the van, and then it's just a really stressful kind of, which was like, again, pressure is important, we thrive under pressure, but I feel like we're going to find the best versions of ourselves in a relaxed space with just us four and maybe a producer, and just kind of nutting out what we want to write for album two. And I think people want to hear that too, in a sense, because I felt like lyrically as well, State of Mind and Buying Time were the most honest songs in that sense as well.
That's cool, yeah. So do you have any producers in, I know it's probably a while away, but do you have any producers in mind for...
Yeah. I think we just take it as it comes. Like, we've had some that we've just like really enjoyed working with, and some that we've just started working with, that
especially because it's a bit of time away as well.
Yeah, but I think that's definitely something, as we start demoing things ourselves, and then whatever, where we feel like the direction is heading, when we hit that, and then sort of like choosing from there, like who would best fit the style of what we're writing then. Yeah. Because it's exciting that everything's going to be like brand spanking new there. And so, yeah, it's going to be fun.
And also someone who kind of understands, like, we need a relationship with someone, I think, as well, with this producer as well. So that'll be something we discover over time.
Yeah. Well, you say you've got like 6 weeks off now. What will you personally be getting up to in those 6 weeks?
Oh, mate.
All kinds of rowdy shit. As far away from each other as you can.
I usually fall off the fucking map.
You don't hear a word from him.
I just fucking peer most of the time. And I'm not going to do that this time. I want to, because like, we got a lot of time off. I feel like we don't actually get time to hang out. I can't remember the last time me and Stephen have actually hung out and done anything, or even any of us really as the band. Of course, we're friends and stuff like that, and we're definitely going to get some time away. Like, we kind of have to. I mean, like, we love each other, but we're fucking sick of each other. But, you know, I feel like we want to, you know, because it's a long time off as well, and it'd be nice to just be away from, like, don't know, the band's important, we love what we do, but we're also friends at the end of the day, and I don't think we've really gotten a chance to kind of just... be just that.
Just do fuck all.
Yeah, literally, just do absolutely fucking nothing and have a few beers or have a whatever, just enjoy ourselves. But now 6 weeks, man, it'll be good to recenter, hug our families, spend time with them, and just fucking enjoy ourselves, really. Just do whatever we feel, really, which is kind of something that's going to be unknown
for a little while.
Like, we're going to wake up and be like, not to know what to do with ourselves.
Yeah. Like, I haven't been back home in Perth since start of August.
Oh, wow.
Because, like, I spend, like, after the last 13 weeks, that was the last leg of touring, I stayed in the US with my girlfriend over there, and then straight to London or Portsmouth for pre-production, and then started this one. So it's going to be almost 5 months until the time I get back home. So it's just, it's been ages. So I haven't seen like all my friends back there. It's almost been half a year.
Everyone's got a beard.
Literally.
Everyone's got mutton.
What's up with you?
Oh my God.
Hair's amazing.
Look, everyone's gonna have money.
Yeah. Everyone's, you know, working their jobs and like doing the thing, and I come back and then, you know, and like, you know, things have changed. Like, all my, like, literally, like, my entire, all my brothers, we've got like new jobs and everything like that. I'm like, oh my God, like, everything's like changing. Yeah, you know, my brothers like moved out of like the home, and everything's like so nuts, and I'm going to get back, and it's all different. The one good thing is my home's been refurnished,
nice.
So, which is going to be nice. Had the renovation, so I'm going back to like a bloody suite.
You're
going to
wake up and think you're in like a hotel, and yeah, just have exactly. These fucking midnight
panics.
Well,
basically,
panics.
Is at this point in time.
Yeah, true.
It's like literally, my folks call my room the Airbnb. So like whenever my brother's home, like he'll sleep in that room. Then I'll say it's just like the Airbnb for like the little amount of weeks that we're back for before we shoot out again.
Airbnb is going to keep you on the laundry duty though. You're not going to get away with it that easy.
I'm
going
to be stoked to do laundry duty because you know legit. How hard it is to do laundry out here.
Fuck,
it's
man.
Ridiculous.
I've got no.
We're doing a new city every day.
People listen to this. Kids who listen to this don't realize, like,
dude. Yeah, no idea.
Have to do laundry.
Do your laundry, kids. I'm fucking appreciate a washing machine when you have it and a dryer. Actually, I think the dryer is the most important because you have a washing machine.
Because if you wash it, you're wet and it smells fucking worse.
Yeah. And if you don't have the dryer, always check that there's a dryer before you do your washing. That is the number one thing.
I've been fresh out of panties for like 2 days.
I've used all my lacy ones.
I've used all my comfortable
just got
ones.
Just got the crotchless ones.
I've just got the jock strap left, man. Like, and that is far from fucking comfortable, man. Like, I feel like I've got two wedgies front and back. Not fucking having any fun at all, though. We'll change that today. I'm gonna go out and get some. I'm gonna treat myself to some nice lacy underwear and dress up a bit. Nice. You know, so.
Yeah, that's true though. I don't think people don't realize that you have that kind of.
Oh mate.
Problems on the road. Like, what do you even do? Like, how do you just pack them up for double?
Well, sometimes venues have them, like washing machines and stuff like that.
So we only have this tour. I've done one wash.
Yeah,
this entire tour.
I haven't
tour.
Done any.
And it's like you just got to be.
These jeans are fucked.
It is strategic. Like it is, and like we the only clothes that we have is what fits in our hand luggage.
Yeah, our carry on.
Like our carry on onto the planes. We don't even get a big one. We have to fit it in the little carry on suitcase because all of our gear is like what goes in. Cause we have to fly everywhere because we're so. Far away, and so it's gonna be strategic clothing.
Yeah, you do.
It's like, will I get? It's like, how sweaty will my socks get? Can I wear them tomorrow?
Yeah, literally.
And I'm like, if I change my underwear now, I know I'm not gonna have any left by the end of the tour. So it's like you got to strategize. And and then when there's a washing machine, everyone's like diving in. It's just
No shit. If you don't
dibs,
get in, you're fucked.
Like, you can't dibs until you see it. Oh,
literally.
You don't make dibs rules.
Any argument, which is pretty rare for us, would be over a fucking laundry thing. Like, there's no question.
It's just because it's such a game changer, just having clean clothes. But then the worst thing is if there's no dryer, you're screwed.
Yeah.
Because then it's all, it's
you
like.
You wash, I'm thinking, yes, this is the day. And then you get them out, you're like, right, dry.
Yeah.
Oh, smelly washing.
Yeah, man,
it's fucking awful. Literally, because I'm usually the one who is at the airport with like 7 jackets and like 8 layers of fucking clothing because I'm an idiot and I'll bring like too much clothing and I'll bring too much of what I don't need. So I'll bring like no underwear, no socks, and I'll buy clothes when I'm away. But this time I brought 17 pairs of underwear and like heaps of socks and I still fucking ran out. And I'm like, and that's like, because we've done no washing and shit. So it's just like, yeah it's the little things. It really is at this point.
Yeah, when you said that, I can just imagine like the whole tour just getting so excited that someone's found the washing machine or something.
Oh,
like,
dude.
It's a buzz. You
have
no
idea. You
can feel the electricity in the air.
Literally.
Gone are the 80s days of cocaine and strippers.
Now
we just long for a wash basket.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. Shirtless leather jackets and smelling that
that's
out.
It's all gone. Washing machine.
Woo! Literally.
Yeah. Nothing more rock and roll than a washing machine.
Rock and roll, man. Washer and dryer.
Mate. The day that we get big enough to have that on the rider, the dream.
Imagine turning up to every gig, pop off the front of a flight case, washing machine.
Your own portable one.
Yes! That is revolutionary.
That's not a bad idea. Up and down the stairs somewhere.
Well, when you get big enough, it's not you.
Oh, okay, true. Okay,
so someone is paid to carry that up and down the stairs.
Yeah. Okay.
And they're not the heaviest things because they're hollow.
But if you get handles on it, it wouldn't be too bad either. So,
a portable washing machine.
No, we've got to think about this. Though. This is some fucking
serious
shit.
These are the important
shit.
Topics to
fuck
to
off
cover.
The music. Fuck off the tour. Handles for washing machines and dryers on tour. I can guarantee it. It's a new thing.
It'd be so good. Yeah, we used to have a flight case with like a TV and like an Xbox and stuff in it. You could definitely get like a washing
machine.
That's
definitely what I'm doing on the 6 weeks off too. I'm making a little
get the DIY going, mate.
Yeah, dude.
After 6 weeks, boys, look what I made.
Yeah.
Fucking speaking of DIY, actually,
Like, the tour's gotten that intense. Like, I was fresh out of pants, but I had one pair of pants that were clean. I didn't want all tour. And I was like, yes, I'm ready to fucking wear these pants. I love these pants. And they're like, my leather pants. And I wear them on stage and they fucking rip all the way down. Oh. And everyone's like, oh, these pants are ruined, man. They're about to fucking split. You can't wear them again. I'm like, no, fuck this. So, like, I gaffer taped my pants back together and wore them at the next show. And it fucking worked. But I forgot to realize that, like, not only can't sweat get through, but, like, as I'm moving around, the gaffer tape's going through the hole. So, I'm getting my leg hair ripped out during the set as well. And now the pants are completely fucked. The inside looks like Chewbacca's face. And it's just like, that's fucking brutal, man. Not a vibe.
You should sell it. Yeah, you could sell that tape at the end of the gig.
Oh, it's funny. Someone actually, like, Ollie, our tour manager, was like, maybe you could sell these pants. I was like, I don't think I could wish that upon anybody. Yeah. These pants.
You'd be surprised, man. People will buy anything.
I think that's the worrying thing. If people were going to buy it, I'd rather I'll be in denial about that fact. I'll just hold on to them, frame them.
Nice. What I found with having time off, like the 6 weeks you've got now, like, I know you haven't had time off for ages, but I found after, like, about, if I did have 6 weeks off, after about 3 weeks, I was starting to go a bit mad because all my friends would be in their day jobs. So there'd be, like, literally nothing to do. And in the night, they just want to chill out because they got work again. Oh, and
literally.
So that's what that was tough.
It's going to be me after 3 days.
We're lucky we're going into a good time of the year. So the Christmas season.
Time, Christmas break.
New Year's. So
yeah, that's true.
A bunch of people are on breaks down there. Yeah, so. Exactly. Be nice.
Sam, you and your lucky schedules.
The summer. Now. Shit. The Christmas, summer. Oh, summer Christmas.
Oosh. Yeah,
nice,
honestly.
Nice, warm.
Very lucky.
Beaches.
We've picked a good time to have a break. But before you know it, we might be on 3 days in the break. Like, all right, boys, we're about to fucking tour.
Yeah,
okay,
all
right. Hey, boys, Green Day have called.
Shit. Yeah. Nah, got to turn it down, boys. Sorry.
Do you fancy doing this? Hella Meg. No, I can't. Look, I've got to do some washing first.
Yeah, literally.
It's like, I guess we'll have to choose Fall Out Boy to do it.
Yeah, fuck. Yeah. I've got to duck. I've got to fix my pants.
Damn you, Pete. Damn you, Pete, in your clean clothes.
Washing machine with handles. Has a washing machine with handles.
Okay.
They bung too.
But apart from washing machines, what's the most prestigious item you've ever encountered backstage or at a venue?
I love the coffee machine in the bus. Yeah. It is a godsend. Being able to wake up and just have a coffee whenever you want. It's like, do I have a coffee now? No, I'll wait a bit. And then I'll have a coffee later. And then when like it's not today, but when the bus is like parked outside the venue, just go get a coffee. It's right
pop
there.
Out.
It's right there. And it's good. You have the Oatly milk with it. It's just like a barista-made latte, basically.
Nice.
It's like a dream.
Starbucks on wheels.
Oh, better. Yeah. Even better. We don't, as Australians, we don't talk about Starbucks.
Oh, okay. Is it about
coffee's better in Australia.
Coffee's better.
Everyone's a barista and shit, so.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
You don't have Starbucks where we're from.
Yeah.
Unless it's over the east, but like.
Over east is some, but that, in like the Melbourne coffee is like the best coffee in the world. Like, Sam, our guitarist, lives there and is a very lucky person. We only get to go there when we're like touring. And then the coffee there is just the smoothest coffee you can ever imagine.
It's so good. I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. I love a coffee. Yeah. I do love a good coffee. I was going to say. Oh, I used to love every time you be in a venue like this, the showers. If you've got a Triton shower, that's normally
Triton shower. Triton. Look out for that name.
It's normally sign. Yeah. T8 is the one.
Ah.
Yeah.
I've toured enough around here to know that the Triton T8 or the T80, that's a great shower.
Fucking hell. I'm going to have to get that brand. I'm going to have to get that down.
Shower connoisseuring is something that we really need to start picking up on.
We're picky about everything else, but I think we've been picky about the wrong things here. Fuck.
Yeah.
Nice.
No, but going back to the record,
we kind of got lost in it.
I guess we kind of got to talk about it at some point, right?
Haley would be upset if we didn't.
Oh,
so
no. Sorry.
Yeah, that's true. Sorry, Haley. Oh, yeah, she's going to hear some things. Oh, fuck. Sorry, Haley.
No, but as you mentioned, it's had a great reaction and everything so far and everything. You've already started towards new music, but what would you say, have you been surprised about reaction to certain songs that you maybe thought wouldn't have been a fan favorite that have been, you thought maybe that would just be an album track, but has actually become a standout in the live performance?
You don't go for it, mate.
Yeah, I think the ones that we always sort of knew which ones would be like the standouts of the live performance because they're based around the live set, and that's something like really big that we did coming into like the tail end of writing the record. Like, so as Josh said before, there's like songs like Infamous, which we wrote 3 years ago when we never, like when we were still in Perth, we never even written outside of Perth before. And then there's, that was like half of the record was written, and then half of it was written within literally the last month or two before the album was released. So like that's like a very quick, like, you know, change of everything. And so, you know, like the previous EP and then half the record was written before we'd ever even toured before. So it was like we didn't really have an understanding of what it was like to be a touring band and, you know, just playing like a whole lot of shows live, like until, so in 3 days time, or even 2 days time, 2 days time, we're gonna have played 237 shows in the last 18 months.
Wow.
So it's like, that's like the end of this year's legs. It's 137 shows this year and 100 shows last year. And so like in that time, you really like get to know like the live set, what people engage, you know, engage with, and what we enjoy playing. And that's what we really put into, you know, the last, you know, five songs, you know, that we wrote for the record. You know, ones like Tongue Tied, Buying Time, State of Mind were all written like right at the end because we wanted to have those songs that, you know, that we knew and felt that would just enhance that live show. And that's exactly what in the future we're going to be bringing to every single song.
Awesome.
To make it just like, you know, as buzzing as we can.
Nice.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, we've said that there's so much hard work getting this record out and the time and effort put into it. And I feel like a lot of people feel, oh, the debut album's out now, that's it, they're going to, you know, go up and blow up or whatever. But I feel like this is actually where the hard work starts now, because, you know, you've built a foundation, you've started, and you've got something to follow up. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, 100%. And I'm like a big believer in the fact of like, you know, band, if you want to have longevity, like we want to be in a band till, you know, well, forever, you know, that's the aim, right? And to get to that point, I feel like you've got to have that slow build. You've got to kind of like connect with people. You've got to create relationships. You've got to progress in a way that feels organic to yourself. Cause like, I mean, this isn't the case for everyone, but I feel like majority of the time, if you rise very quickly, you're going to fall very quickly. And I feel like when you have that slow progression, you look at bands like U2 and the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Metallica and, you know, bands that are still very much relevant today, and they're not like, you know, intense on social media or anything like that, but they've created relationships with people, and those people come and they still sell out stadiums. Look at Rage Against the Machine, who are just coming back, and all of their shows are selling out, and System of a Down, who's going to be playing soon as well. All those shows are going absolutely mental because they created a deep connection with people, and they did that over a long period of time. And obviously, like, if things happen, like, things blow up a certain way, whatever, but I think it's just, you have to always carry yourself in that mindset as well, that you're not the biggest band, you're not the biggest whatever, you're always got to be constantly learning, you've always got to be constantly growing, and you've always got to feel like you need to prove yourself to people, and you need to connect with people, and you need to actually, but do that in a way that feels honest with yourself. Because as soon as you've, I feel like kids are smart these days too, you know, you get information at your fingertips, kids grow up so quick, you've got phones, you can Google anything these days and get a degree from freaking Google these days. So as soon as you start pretending to be something you're not, kids will pick up on that, and then you're done, really. So that's just the reality of it, right? If there's no audience, there's no band. I mean, you can play music for as long as you want, but if you want to do it for your entire life and make a career out of it, you need people. Really, that's just the gist of it.
And we talked about this very briefly when last time we spoke to a Reading Festival, but early on you guys have been able to work with some incredible names and some of your really musical heroes, some people like John Feldman, Pete Wentz, Mark Hoppus, Austin from 5 Seconds of Summer. How did all that really come about? Because I'm sure those different experiences must have just opened your eyes to new ways of writing and just how you can really work on a song.
Yeah, like that's the big thing. Like literally that all sort of just came about when, you know, we went to work with John Feldman after sending him an email, like, well, not after sending him an email, after six months before we went and worked with him, we sent him an email, and he got back to us saying, basically, I don't like your music, I think it can be a lot better, so just keep on writing until, this is when we're under a different band name and everything, is like, keep on writing until I think you're good enough to come work with me. So we wrote him 30 songs and sent that to, like, literally we locked ourselves in, you know, in a room and just like wrote ideas. And then like sometimes he wouldn't get back to us for like a month. And then eventually after 30 songs, sending it to him, he's like, okay, I think we're going to, you know, come in and do this. I'm like, sick. So we go there and we start writing with John, and then he just invited his mates, Pete, Mark, and everyone down to, you know, write, which was, you know, really good for us because we never, like, before that, we were writing like two half songs like a week, and it was like, you know, very slow, and we were really like grinding just to get something. It was like in that point where, you know, we released two EPs under another band, but those EPs took us like 6 months to write like five songs. And so it was like extremely slow, and then that process trying to get there, you know, really like made us like kick it up a notch. And then once we were there writing two songs a day with like people that, you know, that are like, you know, some like esteemed artists that have, you know, gotten like really, you know, big in their field, but like with them writing two songs a day there, it's like that, okay, now we have to kick it up like 10 notches. Like, we've got to like prove ourselves here. And I think that was like the biggest part of it, like, you know, taking, you know, us who have come from, you know, a place that's very isolated in Perth and only having done our own thing for a short period of time, then getting thrown in the mix with people that you only ever see on like social media or on MTV or whatever it is, and then you're in there with them, it's like, all right, now we've got to bring it. So it was like that sense of having that motivation to like really push to extend yourself right at the beginning of our journey as a band. I think that was like the most important thing that we gauged from that, if that makes sense.
Do you remember the first time John was like, oh yeah, my friend Mark's just popping in around, or just how did he break it to you they were coming around? That's what
he just said. It was like, oh, Pete Wentz come around tomorrow, so just don't be yourselves.
Well, I remember like Pete,
wear deodorant.
I remember I think the day Pete came in, he didn't even tell us he was coming. He just kind of rocked up at that point, I'm pretty sure. Because you were doing like keys in another room or whatever. Yeah, and then you were the first one to change your diaper afterwards, pretty much. It was like, yeah.
Not bad.
He's playing keys and all of a sudden, that's not fuck. That. Boat! Hey, Pete Wentz walked past the window!
Yeah.
Like, one thing you realize, like, yeah, there's a lot of names and stuff behind it, but like, the end of the day, like, you've always got to keep true to what you want to do. And I feel like what we learned from all those people is that you got to gain your own individual perspective, because like they all had their own journey and their own reason to fall into music as well. So you've got to keep authentic to yourself, which is a priority as well. And each session we learned something different, and each session we got our own piece of advice from that, which we carry into our own sessions moving forward. So
yeah, that's a fantastic way to do it. My thing was like, how do you guys, like, for this, the next record now, how do you think you will go about writing? Will like one of you come up with like a full song idea, or does some of you come with like guitar parts or just drum ideas? Or
it'll be a bit of everything, really. I think like Stevie will come with ideas, and Sam will come with riffs, and Lyndon will come with beats, and
Sammy's
I'll come
been
with
writing like three riffs a day for this entire tour. The man's on fire. it's just been going, which is like sick, just getting awesome.
But I think like the main thing we want to approach differently with this record is focus on what we're individually really good at, but also just focus on us four. I don't really want anyone else involved in the writing process besides a producer.
Cool.
Just to kind of moving forward in a sense of what we can do. I mean, obviously we'll see what happens afterwards, but I think we need the chance to kind of just have us four in a room, or us four in separate places, and just having those perspectives, because I feel like we've got a lot in us that we need to say and do and express or play or whatever.
Yeah.
And I feel like this next record is going to be the one to look out for, definitely.
Awesome.
Yeah, no, that's great to hear. And on some aspect, because obviously, you know, those names, and as you mentioned, you've learned some great things from them, but do you think now we've got the records out and people are seeing that you've been able to work with those artists, that people have like the wrong stigma or something towards it? If you have any negativity from the fact that you've been working with other artists, because it seems that it's something that there is a stigma about for some reason.
I wouldn't say like negativity, but one thing like was, you know, when people say like you sound like this or you sound like that, which is fine, people get that perspective of it, but I feel like that you can't really help that. People have their own perspective of music, and you know, whether you consciously or subconsciously do it or not, you're going to sound like your influences somewhat. But you know, I wouldn't say I think negativity might be the wrong word to kind of describe it, but one thing I am tired of hearing is Panic at the Disco. You sound like that, just in all honesty. And I feel like that's one thing we're kind of going to grow out of in that sort of sense, because we're mature writers and we're mature people, mature musicians, and at the core of it, you watch our live set, I feel like we lean towards more of a rock side more than anything. And like, don't get me wrong, it's not like it's a negative thing. People have their perspective, and honestly, it's a great compliment for us as a band. Panic at the Disco are huge and they are an influence of what we've done, but they're not the fame, you know, and that's going to be what moves forward, I think.
Awesome.
I think, like, you know, just like following up on what Josh has said, I think if you look at, you know, if you look at the album and then you look at like the song credits, like, you know, on Spotify, there's only one song in there with the people, you know, all the like esteemed names that we've worked with.
Yeah.
The Summer is a Curse is the only one from those sessions that we're on. So, and like, we get it all, like, we do get it all the time where it's like, oh, what was it like working with these people and these people and everything like that. And it's like, but if you look at the album, like, the fame's music is, you know, it's less that, like, those are good, great sessions, and like, fuck, we learned a lot and it was bloody gnarly just being able to do that. But like, you know, as we grow and as like the time progresses, it's like we take what we learned there and like that was just one session.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. We were like, you know, the blokes were there for like an hour and a half, gave us some words of wisdom, started writing a song. Like, most of the time the song wasn't even finished. Like, we'd start writing it and then they'd go,
sometimes it was just a conversation.
Yeah. And then we'd go, like, go from there. And so, like, you know, we learned like heaps from there. It was like a great thing to be able to know that the music world is so small that, you know, everyone basically hears everything and that's it. But if you look at the album now, it's like, it's like it's the fame's turn to start getting the music out there instead of the Mark Hoppus proteges or the Pete Wentz love trials. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's less of not, it's like less of that, like, and more in the sense that, you know, if you look at the songs that we've released in the album, the only one of like, only one of the songs from the sessions that we get asked about in about 97.5% of interviews is actually on there.
Yeah, exactly. And then album two will pretty much just be us.
Good. I like that attitude. It's good. It's very, very
good. Looking forward to seeing what you come up with next.
Oh, mate, so
are we. So are we. Honestly, it's going to be interesting.
Now, is there anything you've been listening to over the last year, 6 months that would possibly inspire bits of the next record?
I've been listening to Nothing But Thieves like non-stop for the last like 6 months, and then I've been really getting into the new Foles record. Like, the part two is sick, it's really cool, and just like, just a bunch of stuff, you know, musically. 1975's new record's dope. It's lots of cool stuff.
Nice.
Honestly, I kind of put my head in like a lot of different perspectives. Like, recently, for some reason, I've been really, really into David Bowie. I don't know why. Very strangely. Honestly, I've never actually, in all honesty, never really actually listened before. And for some reason, I was just like, I saw an article about it and I was quite interested. I was listening to someone who did, he did the jazz guitar for Just Dance, and how that song kind of came together. I was listening to a podcast about it, funnily enough. And kind of really just started weaving my way into finding out how he worked and kind of how he presented himself. And then through that, I've kind of been really into like the Chuck Berry's and all that sort of stuff as well, kind of finding like the birthplace of where all this sort of stuff started. Because I found that, you know, Elvis, funnily enough, wrote none of his songs. Chuck Berry wrote all of his songs, and I found that was a really interesting fact, and I wanted to kind of put myself in there more. But aside from that, I always listen to Red Hot Chili Peppers, and the new Slipknot record. I love that. And on top of that, I've been kind of weirdly into, oh, I forget his name. What's his name? Travis Scott.
Nice.
Okay. I'm not necessarily the songs, but his structures are really cool. I feel like the way he produces songs out is really, really intriguing. Like, it doesn't matter what kind of musical mind you have, no one is doing what he does, you know, and I find that really interesting.
It'd be a good festival lineup: David Bowie, Slipknot, and Travis Scott.
Would be fucking huge. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, and they'd all probably fight over it. Holy that'd shit!
Amazing.
Yeah, literally.
Man,
cool.
No, that's interesting to hear that you've kind of gone back and listen to some older artists as well as new ones and stuff, and just discovering like little bits about them that you can take into your own intuition.
I think it was just interesting because like, I like to look at like poetry and authors and writers a lot, and I'd like to find out, you know, why is William Blake so relevant to now, just the same as like David Bowie? And it's just kind of finding it, because it's not just like the songs, it's also how they carry themselves, it's also how they interact with people, again, with like relationships, but they developed a relationship with the world in such a unique way, and I'd like to know or just have like kind of a, like, you know, also like Freddie Mercury as well, he is such an icon, and it's because of not just the songs, it's because of the whole scope of their journey as a band as well, which was really, really interesting. So yeah,
cool, very cool.
Yeah. Bit of a random question I did want to ask.
Love random questions.
I did notice that one of your songs was actually on the advertising campaign worldwide for Coke Zero.
Yeah.
Really? Did you see the ad or did you?
Yeah, I've seen a bit of it and I noticed it, and that's, I did a little bit of research and, you know, seeing it was worldwide and stuff. Yeah. Was that just something? Is that just something you just get told, oh, by the way, this is going to feature on this? Or,
well, I mean, the cover, right?
Yeah.
So that cover was actually just done for the Coke ad. So they came to us and they were like, can you
whilst on tour
no, not okay, just us actually always. they went to a bunch of bands and we were one of them lucky enough to do that, and this is like right at the start of our journey, like this, we are 2 weeks this into like our first tour we're on tour Sleeping with Sirens, so 2 or 3 weeks into ever touring ever, and they're like, where you have 2 days if you want to get this to make that happen. I'm like, oh shit, should probably give this a whirl, and then ended up happening. So it was like, not bad.
So do you get
no, not bad at all.
Did you get free drinks for life now or anything like
that? I don't even drink Coke, man. Oh. I don't even drink cool drink.
Oh yeah,
I haven't had a cool drink
Steven,
in like 3 years.
We drink it all the time.
I mean,
and it's an incredible product.
The fuel of tour.
Yeah, literally. Literally.
What fuels, yeah, just so we can cut this bit in, what fuels the fame on tour?
Oh,
what
fuck.
Fuels the fame on tour?
Coca-Cola. Oh, Coke Zero. Specifically.
That's so good. I don't even drink it.
Nah.
It's the fuel of the... It's such a Rick James
that's
thing.
That's so funny. Yeah.
Coke Zero, zero worries.
Zero worries, man.
Oh, fuck. The slogans, was it?
Yeah. No, I just saw it, so I was just wondering what, you know, what the backstory about that is, because...
Yeah, that was a bit of a journey in its own right. Okay. At the time.
Fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Are we done? Sweet.
Cover all, no more random no, questions. Cover all bases. You should.
Is there anything else you want to get
unless you have a question for us.
Oh shit.
Wow. So when you first heard of us, what was your first impression?
Wanker.
Honestly.
I remember it was before one of the slam dunk festivals you guys played. And I checked you out and I went to see you live and I really enjoyed it. I can't remember what the song was.
Ailey sent me a video of you guys playing and said, check, he said they're going to be huge. Ooh, and I checked out and I went, oh, yeah, they are, yeah.
Very funny.
I will say.
Correct,
say.
Ailey.
Yeah.
Oh, she's awesome, Ailey, though.
Yeah, we love Ailey. Big love to her.
She's a queen.
She loves getting mentioned on this as well.
Yeah.
She does a lot.
Yeah.
She should be a guest 1 week, I reckon.
I very much like
that. That's actually a good idea.
She's
now just merged the new business together.
People listen to this. Because that's the thing, we don't want to limit it to just bands like comedians on. We've had like WWE wrestlers and stuff on as well.
Not bad.
So yeah, we just want everybody from different walks of life. So
I'm sure Hayley's got some stories too.
Oh, yeah, she's looked after some bands who turned out to be right bastards, I bet.
Yeah, us.
No.
We're not too bad.
The Black Arch had a good go with. Yeah, that'd be good though.
It would be good.
Cool.
Just trying to think if there's anything else now.
All right, I got another one.
Oh, go for it.
If there was, we got asked this in a meet and greet the other day. So, like, if there was something that you guys wish you could be asked about the podcast, what would it be?
Would I like more money for doing it?
The answer is yes.
There's that.
I don't know. Oh, it's a good one.
You asked about the
like an origin story or like a.
Mm-hmm. Like if the tables were to be turned,
we're
the interviewers.
Yeah,
like not that we have like the brain capacity to like
hello.
We're on the receiving end. We just regurgitate. But like you know, to be on the creative end, if there was something that you guys wanted the people to know about what you do, like the interesting parts of doing the podcast, like the crazy stories,
or more the hard work behind it.
Yeah, I think it's more people don't realize the behind how much time and effort we spend on it behind the scenes, and all the stress
to me about the fucking stress that comes with this. Traveling drives me mental. I gotta drive
and editing and planning and social media and everything else,
and then editing and logistics and stuff
then working out dates and schedules and. But we love it though.
Oh yeah, we love it.
It's good.
The easiest bit has probably been the bands, to be honest. Like,
yeah,
people probably think that, you know, we probably get bands who are nightmares or whatever, but
no, we've been lucky enough. Like, we haven't had.
Yeah, we've had
maybe
one interview that was a bit
We didn't use it.
Yeah,
but
well, we used a snippet of it.
Oh yeah,
but we didn't use much of it.
Yeah, it's been a good experience.
Yeah,
it's been a good experience.
It's made me. Well, basically, what happened was we started this because 5 years ago I was in a band called The Blackout. We played our last shows, and then to me it just felt like. Because we had finished, to me, music had finished. I was just like, I want no part in this anymore. I just want to go home. But then after a while, I was like, well, I've been lucky enough to meet some really cool people who I'm lucky enough to call friends who will come on and do something like this. Yeah. And I got Morgan's a journalist as well, so I met him when I was in the band or whatever. And then, yeah, we just want to get other people's stories out there and the behind the scenes because...
Yeah, because we were joking about like the washing machines and stuff, but literally that's tour life. People do not realise that. Nope. People think it's all the glitz and glamour, sparkly lights and everything, but
the
not the...
That's it.
Oh, what, we got to drive 8 hours to Glasgow now, have we? And, oh, there's no food or drink for that. We're not stopping.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's no, like... You get people going, oh, I'm not coming to see you. You're playing half hour away from my house. And you're like, oh, cool, yeah. I'm over oceans away from my house. I'm sure you could do half hour. Come on.
Literally.
Yeah.
Oh, you're playing Cardiff, not Bristol. Oh.
And, oh my God.
It's 50
minutes on the train. No.
God, the joys.
Yeah.
But yeah,
cool. Well, thank you very much for doing this.
No, thanks so much. It's been awesome. We appreciate it, man.
The switch at the end as well. That was cool. But
the good old switcheroo.
Good old 180.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing what comes next. Really being enjoying the album and excited for the show tonight. And
thanks, man.
Yeah, we'll have to do it again next time.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
We're always ready to do it for us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, never
mind. Switch it.
Yeah, perhaps next time we'll be talking to Mark Oppus and he'll be like, yo. Check on my friend. You know the Fame, the biggest band in the world, and we're like, yeah. Fans of the podcast. Right. Yeah, to be on my podcast.
Yeah, they interviewed us.
Like, oh my God, no! we switch it around now, but cool. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Cheers.
I
appreciate
it. You're
listening to the podcast.
Yeah.
Fucking spot on, mate. Spot on. I bloody love Australians,
you do.
I love Australians anyway, right? When it turns out they're super nice, I love them even more, right?
Correct, yeah.
When it turns out they're going to be one of the biggest bands of 2020, 2021, 2022, and moving forward, that's even fucking better. What a lovely, lovely conversation with some lovely, lovely lads in a fantastic band. Thank you very much to the boys in the Fame.
Yeah, it was just a great chat. I feel we just got into that room and we all just had a general conversation like we'd known each other for years and had a laugh about the littlest things imaginable.
Yeah.
I had to pull it back to the music, you know, of course, because they do have an album to promote. Ooh, but they've got to push this album.
Well, I know.
If you haven't listened to this album...
The band wants to do that.
No, like, I know.
There's about four people in the music industry who are like, I can't wait to talk about my album. Everybody else is like, oh, do I have to? The amount of times I went on Radio 1, right, and they went, oh, we're going to play a single Higher and Higher next, and I'd be like, do we have to? Can we play Faith by Limp Bizkit? And they'd be like, well, if you want, but you, and I'm like, I don't know.
No,
I've heard it, like.
Yeah, it's true, you have. Yeah.
But yeah, it was stupid. That's probably why my band is no longer. But should have promoted better, chose other people's songs when I should have been playing my songs to millions of people on the radio. But again, thank you very much to the Fame.
Yes,
I genuinely think 2020 is going to be a massive, massive fucking year for them. So
yeah,
that's how excited I was.
Calm down.
Sorry.
I know you're excited.
Calm down, right? It's the coffee.
Oh, okay. I've really enjoyed the record and I'm excited to see what comes next for them. They're going to be returning to the UK in May for Slam Dunk Festival as well.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll be catching up again with them very, very soon.
Yes, hopefully. Thank you again to them and Hayley Connolly.
Yes. Love you, Hayley. Please come on the podcast.
Yes, we'd like that very much.
Tell us all your deep, dark secrets.
No, you don't want to.
No, not hers, but about bands.
Oh, okay.
Because she knows some...
Oh, she knows some shit. Yeah. Well, yeah, she told us some insides. No, I've said too much. carry on. Sorry.
So if you've enjoyed this episode...
Yes, I
then
have.
Okay, well, what you can do, Sean, you can open up your phone.
Yep.
You can go to Twitter and or Instagram.
Yep.
You can type in Sapnin Pod. Do you want to spell that?
Yep. It's at SAPPENIPOD. No, it's not. It's at SAPPENINPOD.
Okay, then what you do then is you press, make sure you're following. So you press that follow button to make sure you're following. Yeah, okay, cool. Then you
follows
go.
Me too.
Okay, then you go back, you like everything we ever post. You retweet it.
I do, I admit.
Comments, all that. And
If you've got any questions or anything, or things you'd like to see in 2020, whatever news you want from the podcast.
Oh, podcast. Yeah.
Yeah, that's my OnlyFans.
All right.
Then that's where you can do it.
Oh, cheers. Cool.
So wow. To, you know, sum that up, yeah. That's happening part on Instagram and Twitter, and tell us what you want to see in 2020.
Nice.
What do you want to see from this podcast in 2020?
What do I want to see from this podcast? Us just getting more people's stories out there, like more interesting. Like I genuinely think the one we did a couple of weeks back with Stu Richardson of No Devotion and formerly of Lost Prophets was such an eye-opener for everybody outside of our circle. Like when we recorded it, I didn't expect to have the outpouring of, well, I kind of did expect it, but I also think because it's our circle,
yeah,
I wasn't expecting it to be so big.
No, I agree with you.
Worldwide thing, and it was nice to get some to get, you know, the other side of Lost Prophets out there to people, because people don't realize.
Yeah, I was quite nervous before that episode came out because I thought there was a great story there, and like Stu really opened up himself to us. So I just wanted it to do, you know, justice and stuff.
Yeah, it was good. So yeah, just more stories and more interesting things that people don't know much about,
okay,
or want to know more about, that we can somehow let them into the world of music, rock, TV, comedy, and
yeah, things. I'd like to every now and again now for us to maybe open up and get a bit more guests outside of the like immediate music,
yes,
scene.
I'd like a UFC fighter.
So would I. Some wrestlers, some drag race superstars.
Oh, I love people. Well, the big fast cars that go really fast in a straight line.
Yeah. Do you heard about RuPaul?
No.
He drives a really fast car.
Is he fucking good? Yeah.
Really good, yeah.
What colour is his car?
He's got a motorball.
Have he?
Yeah.
Pink, like. You got a pink car?
Probably.
Fucking right.
Imagine so.
Does it go like fuck? Is he shifting that pink car or what? Don't know what I'm going with this. It's hard to make it. Anyway. Yeah. People from all walks of life.
Yeah, literally. Wrestlers. I want some comedians on. I want
artists, booking agents,
yeah,
managers of bands, people who work for the press, editors of magazines,
yes,
techs, guitar techs, drum techs.
Yeah,
we should do everything.
Yeah.
We will.
Let us know what you would like, yes, at Sapling Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Remember to tag them in all the posts as well so they can see it, and it makes it easier for us to organise.
Yes, I saw that Ailey Williams is releasing new music in 2020 on her own. And straight away, someone tapped us and said, get her on it. And I was like, yeah,
yeah.
It's you got to tell her on us. We want them. So, yeah, please tag any artist who'd like to come on. Cheers.
Cool. So, some other things, some demands I'm making for 2020.
Oh, for fuck's sake, we've recorded. The Eagles landed.
Recorded. All of 2019, we've recorded a podcast in many different scenarios, right? So we're backstage at festivals, we did it in a car, we've done it in your house, we've done it at other people's houses. We've
had that orgy. Oh, no, we didn't.
No, that's not released.
Fuck.
I know this is a bit optimistic, right?
Yeah.
Record an episode on a plane.
Why?
Just because we can.
Yeah,
if we can.
Why? What difference is it going
to
make?
I think it'd be cool just to do it.
What's happening, guys? All right, welcome to episode 60. No guests this week because me and Morgan are in a plane. As you can hear from the podcast, we're on a plane. It's pointless, Morgan.
I know it's pointless, but what I'm trying to say...
I'd rather do it on a boat because then at least we can be on one of them boat festival
things. Okay, a boat is probably better. But I was thinking if like Kanye West or someone wants to take us on his private jet.
Oh, Kanye West really wants to take us on a private jet to record a podcast.
You know, I'm putting it into the universe, Sean.
I'm putting that thought out into the universe
and see what's going to happen.
Jesus Christ. I want to do a podcast on a podcast. All the things you could have said. Hey, well, the podcast and playing. It's going to make no difference to the podcast, is it?
No. But if Kanye West is listening, then we will come on his private jet.
Oh, well, Kim listens. I don't think Kanye will sort it out, though. Think of
all the people who have planes. Bruce Dickinson, Iron Maiden. We can go him on a plane.
What about interviewing him? Anyway.
Yeah, I'm not going to go on. You're just going to make fun of my list.
Yep. Stupid.
Okay, yeah, sorry.
On a plane.
Sorry. If you've enjoyed this rambling conversation.
How have you enjoyed it? That's the question. This idiot. His goal, his absolute goal for 2020 is to record a podcast on a plane, right? For you guys, right? You guys would. Do you know what? This one is on a plane. We're on a plane right now because it makes no difference because they can't fucking see it, can they, Morg? It doesn't matter to them where we do it. We've done some of these in a car before now. I know we're in a plane. I'd like to do this on a submarine or a UFO this year.
Right, okay. Tom DeLonge can take us on a UFO.
Yes, Tom.
Right, that's,
yes.
Okay, that's now the dream for 2020.
Right.
But if you have enjoyed this, our rambles, any of the conversations we've had with your favourite bands or anything, please check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/sapnin. Get involved with the community. Everything completely that comes from that goes back to making this podcast bigger and better, and not for me buying a private jet.
No, but he is open to ride a private jet. Yes, cool. Thank you very much if you've got this far. I don't know how you've got this far. But yeah, speaking of Patreon,
yes,
there's people we need to thank.
Yes, there is. So if you look at the description of this episode, again, please do, because I take a lot of time to write it.
He does.
There's loads of names in there that we say thank you to, but we've got to give a massive shout out to the elite members of our Patreon page, and they are as follows.
Thank you very much to the wonderful Dana Lasnova, Kylie Wheeler, Mitch Merry Petty Christmas, Samantha Spray, John Price, Amadine Urbano, Emma Barber, Liam Connolly, Kelly, Happy Birthday Sean Young, Nathan Croshaw, James Oakley did a dirty protest in his hotel room in Bristol, Kelly Irwin, Scarlett Charlton, Janelle Caston, Drew Styles, Loz, Nessa Smith, Katie Puttack, Jenny Snap, Sappy New Year Munster.
Hey, she's got it.
Amy Campion, Emily Senegals, Lucy Diaz, Martina McManus, Caden Den Hudson, Erin Auer, John and Emma, James Oaktree. Just changed his name from Oakley to Oaktree. Wild. Kieran Lewis, I saw him in Cardiff in town earlier walking with a lady. Marcy Jacobson, Mike Cunningham, Miss Shani Maya, Alexandra Boxell Anderson the First. Sharif Awadidididid Dali Wally. That's not a joke. Patrick Anthony Wakefield Newbury, Michael Engler, Lydia Henderson, Livy Cropper, Kelly Emma Cannon, Amy Thomas, the OG Chester Draws, Scott Jones, Stuart McNaught, Jamie Blow, Tony Michael, Jenny Robson, Craig Harris, Jordan Burchard, Lawrence, no surname, Kate Stevenson, Ryan Woodman, Becky the Elf, what's your favourite colour? Sarah James, and last but not least, the lovely Jodie Shannon.
Yes!
Thank you very much to those people. We love you very, very much and think you are absolutely fabulous.
We do. That's hell of a list now.
Yeah.
The names are incredible.
I think we might have to start not trimming it down. I don't mean killing the people.
No.
Maybe limiting.
Look, last week we were on about murdering. We're not going to murder our patrons. We're going to murder people that don't become patrons.
Oh, I mean other people's patrons. Like,
no.
We go to find Matt Stocks, go to his Life in the Stocks Patreon, find out who's getting involved and then kill them.
We could steal them.
Tell what we could do. We could set Patreon our wars. Patreons on to.
Well, Patreon wars.
This is a cult. Yeah.
So this is the only cult that matters.
I'm feeling very Charles Manson at the moment. What can we make them do? Anyway, hey. Thank you very much to all those people who are part of the Patreon.
Patreon.com/sapnin.
It's not a cult.
But it is.
If the police ask.
Okay. But it's not if you're a policeman or woman.
Yes, definitely not. Wait here, we've got some people in the Patreon are actually police officers.
Yeah.
He's in it now, technically. So
he's in, it's an inside job, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Ah, Mark, nice one. It's technically the new Freemason Sapnin podcast. So, yeah, Sapnin podcast loves you very, very much. And, yes, do we have anything more to say before we leave?
We need a word of the week to let they can let us know that they've got this far. I don't know how they would have, because this has been a right ramble.
Right, here we go then. Hashtag, I can't believe I got this far. Because I can't believe you got this far, because we've rambled more than ever today, I think.
Probably.
It's been very funny, though.
And, I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it, yes. Let's hope we get to do one of these on a plane.
That was going to be the funny one on my list, but it doesn't matter now. I'm not that... My ego's not that bad. Come on. Stop putting my face on.
I don't know why you'd want to go... Anyway, yes, let's stop this. Thank you very much again to the fame, Hayley Connolly, everybody of the globe, Hot Milk for the smiles and the friendship. and our Patreons for their support, love, and yeah, it was my birthday last week and everybody was super cool, so thank you very much if you wished me happy birthday. If you didn't, I hope you die in a fire.
Sounds about right.
Yep.
Cool. We ending this now then?
Yep.
Alright.
Bye.
Sapnin.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.